I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to EP Yoga. I think we've got a really interesting show for you this evening. We're going to be talking about 2012, ascension, space, and time travel. And before we get into our topics this evening, I'd just like to express my gratitude and appreciation for our listening audience and for those that have emailed me during the week with their comments and questions. And for those that haven't done so and would like to, you can always contact me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And also, for those who are interested in viewing my website, it's up at maxwellgreensite.com. That's M-A-X-W-E-L-L. Maxwell is in Maxwell House Coffee. Green is in the color site.com. And I guess to start off the show this evening, a few comments concerning the topic of ascension. And we haven't really touched on this on ET Yoga. And obviously it's a very important topic. And certainly my opinion would be that ascension is going to come about. And the most probable time for that would be 2012. And I know in terms of materials that are out there, the raw material that David Wilcock tunes to, and also Bashar have confirmed that Earth is indeed in transition and will be moving into fourth density. And I think that it's clear that to a lot of people, the subject is either non-existent or people are indifferent about it. But for those who are on a spiritual journey, it makes this time the most wonderful and amazing time to ever exist on the planet. And certainly in recent history, there's never been a time where there was the possibility of moving up into a new level of consciousness. And certainly, those who aren't going to make that journey have a myriad of excuses that they can use for not being interested or not caring about this topic. I mean, we can go back to having our DNA manipulated so that 10 strands weren't operating. We can talk about the thousands of years of victimhood or control that humanity has experienced under the secret leadership of individuals and their connections. We can talk about just the from a compassionate point of view. Most of the people that grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s, their parents didn't know about the concept that we are responsible for our outer experience. And when you grow up with the concept of right and wrong, and its resulting ramifications in judging outer circumstances, we end up creating a world that makes one feel, in a sense, powerless and sometimes the victim of external happenings. And I guess on the positive side, for those who have had spiritual experiences or awakenings and are on a spiritual journey because they realize the possibility of attaining a oneness with a higher level of consciousness, and more people are awakening to that fact, and then consequently more and more people are awakening to the fact of ascension. Now, in the David Wilcock and Dan Burrish material, they basically talk about three major groups. And the first group is the group that ascends with the earth. The second group, which comprises the majority of humanity at this point, which are undecided or indifferent. And undecided meaning undecided whether they really are committed to being service to others or... Radio.com. Hi, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I guess we had a technical problem there, and the line was cut off, but we'll try and pick back up where we were discussing the three different groups that primarily would be involved with the ascension process. And that the group one was those that ascend with the earth, group two being the ones that are in the majority at this moment, which are sort of undecided or indifferent or unaware. And according to the Dan Burrish and David Wilcock material, the third group, there is a high probability of some sort of cataclysmic event, which results in the formation of these P-45s and P-52s, which apparently are extraterrestrials who are from our future actually working with us with some treaties right now to try to rectify the situation. At any rate, I think it's important to note that regardless of external circumstances don't come with built-in meaning. So there's always a choice to put positive spin on any situation. And to quote from the Pleiadians, remember, how you see and interpret the events of your times will determine the version of the world in which you find yourself. It may appear that there is one version of the world, yet that too is an illusion. Probabilities are as common as grass on the ground. They spring forth from your decisions, based on your thoughts, feelings, desires, and emotions. And the reality you create may not be the same as your neighbor, even though you live on the same street. Reality is tricky, and so is creating it. And power is trickiest of all. And power, dear friend, cannot be avoided. Power is, and you and power are part of all that is. Therefore, you are power. The question is, how will you deal with your power? There are no limits to your creativity. Your challenge is to overcome your fear of becoming a powerful being. And Pleiadians also give the following advice, that projections of worry have a very powerful and insistent frequency that transmits a message with an expectation of problems arising. And this is one of the reasons why I think it's so very important to have positive expectation. And in many of our previous shows, if you're a regular time listener, you're aware of how important we think positive expectation is. Equally as important as putting positive spin on outer circumstances. And the Pleiadians also say to remember a very important and crucial purpose of these accelerated times is to clean up the frequency of fear. And if we go back to Bashar material and the College of Christ Consciousness material, all fear is illusion. And when you run energy through positive beliefs,
that are in alignment with your higher self, the resulting emotions are excitement and joy and compassion and gratitude and love. And when you run energy through beliefs that are not in alignment with your higher self, those are the ones that create the fear. And all fear is based on, at its root core, an erroneous belief. And the key one being that any outer circumstance or person is more powerful than you. That's the core one. And with respect to this whole concept of ascension, I think it's interesting to know that, you know, is there any scientific basis or fact that might lead us to conclude that, in point of fact, ascension is about to happen? Well, you paid any attention on the Project Camelot site, there's Valery Yuvarov. He's a Russian scientist and part of the government, actually. And a government project that he's working on deals with magnetic poles as well as pyramids, the study of them. And he's also the one that recommended the Wands of Horus and the Egyptian healing rods as one of the best tools in today's world with respect to assisting the human body to withstand some of these frequency changes that are taking place as we speak. And he talks about the magnetic structure of the Earth as being somewhat like an hourglass. It's shaped like an hourglass with the top and bottom sometimes getting wider or narrower depending on certain times. However, he's basically stating that by the year 2012, the bottom part of the hourglass in the southern hemisphere will expand all the way to the top. And he concludes as well that this will create a natural stargate. And this is coming from a government agency. And if you want to see his whole story, it's about an hour and a half interview at Project Camelot, and that's Valery Yuvarov. And as well, I think there's evidence that there's energy coming from the galactic center. And if we listen to the Pleiadians, they say that the galactic center transmissions delivers stupendous jolts of energy that trigger deep truths and stimulate exciting new levels of creativity within humanity. Energies that are life-enhancing and meant to be felt and absorbed. If the energies encounter a blockage, they will begin to concentrate and create pressure in and around the blocked area, essentially working to unlock and untangle the snarl that is creating the obstruction. Holding on to pain and fear and anxiety-ridden interpretations of life will inevitably create only more resistance. When change is in your favor and still you refuse to open the door to self-improvement, you create a block on the new program of energy. Intensified galactic transmissions are like an energetic thunderstorm, refreshing and revitalizing if the conditions are accommodating, and potentially destructive to areas that cannot accommodate the abundance of nature's power. Galactic-oriented energy has tremendous force to empower everyone on Earth to embrace you and the mass consciousness of your planet as a cosmic family. To connect with the galactic center is to connect with an energy that is nurturing, truthful, passionate, volatile, compassionate, caring, and continuously supportive, the ultimate goddess figure of the galaxy. And if you can embrace these energies as your own, you will come closer to knowing who you are. And so there is some scientific fact or data that's indicating that, in point of fact, ascension is a likely probability. And again, referring back to some of the David Wilcock material and Dan Burrish material, where they talk about some of the technologies that have been recovered from extraterrestrial craft, that there have been some experiences with time travel. And they indicate in their materials that, in point of fact, one of the experiences that time travelers encountered was a thing called the bump. And this is a 7 or 8 second period where everything kind of goes flatline. And the people that went through these vortexes and experienced this bump had a super amazing spiritual experience. Described this way, it's the most fantastic thing I've ever experienced in my whole life. It was like I'm one with the universe. I could be a star. I could be a planet. I could zoom in on the planet. I had access to all knowledge there ever was to know. I could be a subatomic particle. I could be an atom, a molecule. I could fly anywhere, do anything, know anything, be anything. It seems like there's no time. It just goes on eternally. Absolute ecstasy. It was the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced in my whole life, and I don't want to leave it. And I think for those who have had a spiritual experience that is commonly known as planting the seed, where one becomes aware of the possibility of being one with higher awareness, I think you can see the connection here. And interesting to note that if, in fact, these experiences happen to people, they also connect the scientific data to that. And that is that a 20-year wave that came out, which apparently was a natural harmonic of the Earth in its rotation, there was a point on that 20-year wave along through a time tunnel where they hit the bump. And later they were able to figure out when they hit the bump in terms of time, and it turned out to be December 21st, 2012. Another, I think, really amazing and interesting aspect of this is Dan Burrish's testimony that he talks about natural stargates. And these are points where the global grid lines cross. He says you have two counter-rotating geometries on the Earth, one that pretty much stays stable and determines the shape of the continents, and then there's another one that we don't see, which counter-rotates. And as the two go through each other at certain points, the node will cross. And he says that the Bermuda Triangle is a natural stargate. And if these two grids cross over each other, the nodes connect, the alignment is right, then you can end up flying through this vortex and fly clear into another time space and end up not in our reality anymore. And when I read that, the first thing that struck me was the connection to the Merkaba meditations. And the Merkaba meditations basically are a meditation where you're inside two counter-rotating tetrahedrons that increase in speed up to and including past the speed of light. And for those who are interested actually in that technique, they are available at the MaxwellGreenSight.com. That technique and the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation, along with the Pleiadian spinning and pillar of light techniques, are on one of the archived ET yoga shows. It's called the XYZ meditation. And so one of the things that I was told years ago was that every object actually is inside counter-rotating tetrahedrons. And that would include the Earth, and that would also tie together with Dan Burrish's information that there are these two forces that are counter-rotating geometries. And if that's so, then clearly if those two counter-rotating geometries were increased in their spin or rotation, up to the speed of light, then in point of fact, what's inside those counter-rotating tetrahedrons would in fact go to the next dimension. And to me, that's a physical explanation of how the Earth could actually move to another dimension. And interesting to note that in the Starseed Dialogues, and that's a Patricia Corey's latest book, Soul Searching the Universe, there was a question in there asked, to ascend in the light body, does this mean burning off the physical body, as in cleansing by fire, as prophesized for Earth, an extremely painful physical death? And the answer from the Syrians was, the process of passing through Ra's ascension tube, the astral cord, will be so incredibly fast, faster than the speed of light itself, that it is understandably inconceivable to you now, intellectually, as it will be then in the first stages of your passing. It is not a death process. It is not a painful one. It is a most remarkable brilliance, and then the awakening, illumination. Hold a flashlight in your hand, pointing it directly at the wall. Click the switch. Faster than the speed of that light, hitting and then illuminating that wall, almost as fast as the thought of turning that switch, that will be the speed of your passage. Before that ray of light can reach the wall, your entire solar system will have passed through the astral cords of Ra and entered the fourth dimension. It will be that fast. And also there was a question asked of the Syrians, should we die before the major shift in 2012? Would we be at our appointed destination already? I would not like to miss this magnificent event and all the preparation along with it. And their answer is, sweet soul, we repeat to you what we have said before. As a stream of consciousness, you are learning that you are always where you are meant to be when you follow the flow and the current. The soul shines the reflections of the light that ripples through the cosmic waves into your heart, and you know, despite your fear, that the time of leaving a given lifetime is determined well before entering. There is nothing arbitrary, nor is anything left to chance about the time of your departure, just as there is nothing random about your entry. And I think this is sort of in connection with some of the materials in my ebooks at themaxwellgreenside.com, where there is a connection made with the Pleiadian teachings through Amora Kuan Yin. And in her information, she states that at the back of our necks, actually, some clairvoyants can see this, and that reflects actually the time of the manner and the time of death. And this is consistent with this information that clearly there are no accidents. And moving ahead, I guess, to the concept of space and time in this whole connection to ascending. Bashar talks about the concept of time dilation and the science of relativity and Einstein's material that I guess the most famous example is the two twins, one that's in a spacecraft that's just traveling or approaching the speed of light, and the other one that stays on Earth, and then after a certain period of time, they're brought together, and the one is significantly older than the other. And I guess the concept here being that time and space are a 100% idea, that if you're standing still, you're virtually, you know, experiencing 1% time and 99% space, and that you're going at the speed of light, then you're experiencing the reverse ratio. So I'd like to connect that material with actually a response from one of the Semjazi, who was one of the contacts of Edward Meyer. And he was asking questions concerning the theory of relativity and time dilation to the Pleiadians. And the answer he got was from Semjazi, and this was the answer. In order to answer these questions, I have to go back a little. You see, there are different methods of mastering space, but I won't describe them all to you because Earth people would think them to be too fantastic or just as ununderstandable. For flying objects, however, there is only one safe method for passing through outer space. It is reaching of a condition of hyperspace in which the dilation of time and mass gets canceled, a fact which reveals your theory of relativity to be just another theory. The cancellation of time shift or time dilation can be accomplished only by breaking through into this hyperspace. However, I am not allowed to give you any details on this. In any case, it is a kind of leap, a sudden transition involving dilation of mass with such an enormous rapidity that the protection screen gets momentarily paralyzed. Within a tiny fraction of a second, matter is distorted and dissolved, enabling it to pass through to hyperspace without the passing of the slightest time particle. But mind, this is not only a matter of extreme speed, even though it surpasses the velocity of light by a million times, there are other proceedings involved. Only by means of this speed is the effect achieved to change matter, which in itself is the condition for performing this hyperleap. The mass of a body grows in relation to growing velocity. This means that mass can grow into infinity. Our ships are protected against this process. It is only by switching off the screen that the distorting effect is achieved. And this is the moment when we are able to use this very process for accelerating the actual distortion and for creating true dematerialization. We are able to paralyze time and space simultaneously. They annul each other. This is done so quickly in a tiny particle of a second that even living forms are not aware of it. They don't feel any kind of change. However, the slow kind of flight in space can be rather dangerous, and it can jeopardize the whole undertaking. If spaceships break through the barrier of light velocity without reaching hyperspace instantly, a catastrophe is due for the ship and crew. This kind of catastrophe is well in accordance with your theory of relativity. Speed in excess of the velocity of light, yet not high enough to use hyperspace, is full of dangers. Dilation of time is only one among them. Another real danger lies in the possibility that the mass of the ship continues to dilate, ending up in complete destruction. So that was, an interesting sort of tie-in to the concept of time-space dilation. And interesting to note that in the Bashar's book, The Blueprint for Change, Bashar was asked, can you travel to any space and time? And he says, absolutely. So it's completely limitless? Absolutely, because time and space are your own definitions. You see, we understand that an object does not exist within time and space, but that space-time are properties of the object and can be changed. In a sense, that's how our spacecraft travel. They are projected into astral material, and then they are redefined with a vibration that represents the space-time locale at which we wish them to be. They are then reinserted into physical materiality at whatever locale is representative of that vibrational equation, having in a sense avoided the issue of travel altogether. Instantaneous teleportation. It is not really breaking the speed of light. It is not traveling within your dimension at all. Have you dealt with magnetic drive at any point? There are some forms, fluctuations, of electromagnetism within some of the ideas of drive. It is not purely electromagnetic exactly, but more the idea of gravitational dynamic tensor fields. Can the ships go into water? Oh, yes, and very often they do. Remember, something that can travel in space where there is no air can very easily go underwater. Since our ships use electromagnetic energy, we do not have to worry about the idea of rocket flames and fuel and the like. There are no openings in our craft for water to get in or air to get out. Therefore, we can go where and when we wish. Our ships also create a particular type of vibration that puts us out of phase with solid matter so that they can go into that solid matter or through it or into other dimensions within it. Does your spaceship relate to you in the form of thought? And Bashar says, yes, in a sense. The mind of the pilot is connected to the mind of the ship. If I were a pilot here and wanted to transfer from this system to your system, what thoughts or ideas would I feed into my computer? The feeling that you have of us, that is the vibration. How would you recognize us is the vibration? You can always key off of any single individual such as myself, since my vibration is of my system. In using that vibration to key off of any particular person in any particular system, could I then easily go from system to system just by signaling in on that particular entity? Yes, it is like the tuning of your radio. You get what you switch the dial to. I'd be running up and down the dial there. So do understand that this is what you do when you are out of your body in your sleep state anyway. You become the vibration, and there you are instantaneously.
The spacecraft is only an extension of the consciousness that represents the same idea in physiological symbolic terms, but it is still only an extension of the consciousness. I was aware of that, but I didn't know how to construct one or how I would deal with traveling. Well, you also create the idea of the so-called self-aware mentality or consciousness of the spacecraft, because the spacecraft can also hear you. It is completely and totally key to your vibration and thus responsive to it and only to yours. In that you said that the mind of the pilot is connected with the control mechanism of the ship, could you give me an example of, say, plotting from one system to another, how the pilot would do that? Yes, there is the creation of the isolation field around and about the craft, which isolates that field from any one particular universe, thus opening up its navigational banks to all probable universes, which are represented by their signature frequency vibrations. The pilot, being intuitive and simply tapping into the internal imagination dimension, picks the frequency he desires. This is imparted through the navigational spectrum of the ship, which then views the entire ship with that vibrational frequency. Thus, when the isolation field is removed, the ship, by definition, must take up residence within the universe that represents the vibrational frequency. And he actually goes on to discuss a little bit about time travel. You say you create your isolation field around your spacecraft and redefine the space-time coordinates to relocate to another place. Can you define the space-time coordinates in such a way as to transport back to what we call our past or our future? That is, can you move to planet Earth in the 15th century? And Bashar says, yes. Space-time is one thing. Traveling in space is traveling in time. Traveling in time is traveling in space. It is one thing. However, recognize that everything will still fit in place, even from the apparent linear point of view. So any apparent changes that may appear to take place within any previous time track you came from will actually not be taking place in that literal time track, but in one parallel to it. So exactly what do you experience? The effect is basically the same. In other words, you could step into your craft and go back in time. If you are assuming that you wish to change the way something happened, then to make that change, you can go back to the exact same time track where you left off. There will be no apparent change because that's not what happened in your current time track. But the change can be made there, forming an alternate time track by definition. The change, so to speak, is not a change. It is part of the normal history of a parallel time track. So if you wish to see the effect of the so-called change, you must go to the future or go back to the present of the parallel time track where you made the change. Is this making any sense? And the questioner says, somewhat. Says you have time track A, time track B. Time track A is your time track, let's say your history. Time track B is another history altogether. Everything is occurring simultaneously. Let us say time track A and time track B are very similar. The idea leaving this point in your time track A is that if you go back to the supposed past, you are actually going into the idea of another time track and being a part of its history in a natural progressive way. Now, you cannot actually literally change your own past in the same linear coordinate system. When you change your past, you are simply shifting gears into another time that contains that ability to change, so you will have the experience of that change in your new present. You cannot change history. More correctly, you alter yourself to another history that is appropriately representative of the change you desired to make. And the same applies to moving to the future, and Bashar says, yes. So, interestingly enough, this whole concept of space and time and clearly how this relates to how spacecraft travel in the universe. And I think an interesting connection to all this is the information from Archangel Michael that was channeled through Celia Fenn and his comments with respect to space. And Archangel Michael promised to deliver more information concerning the changing nature of time and space as we enter the new cycle of consciousness that will lead us to the 2012 point of our reality creation. And at this point, according to Archangel Michael, the Earth will align with the galactic center,
in such a way that it will reset the Earth's cosmic clock to a new frequency and rhythm. And he calls this no time, or the immediate and infinite present. We are already feeling the shifts and changes as we move from third dimensional consciousness. And he also indicates that we're being trained in the skills of living in the present by some of the authors that are popular today. And I think that it's interesting, his comments about changing perceptions of time, because he says that, have you ever noticed what has happened to time recently? I've heard from a lot of people that they feel stuck, as if they are not moving and they should be somewhere else. Then often these same people tell me that their lives are chaotic and intense and they can't keep up. The standard explanation is that modern life has speeded up, and since Earth began her transformations, we are experiencing higher vibrations. Well, as you learn in basic metaphysics, when the vibrations increase on the higher level, the physical level slows down. That is why meditation helps to slow down the busy mind and relax the body, for the influence of the peaceful energy of the higher vibrations takes over. And a questioner asked Archangel Michael about this, and Celia said, so what's happening with time on the planet? And Archangel Michael says, time is slowing down. And Celia, but everyone keeps saying that time is speeding up. That doesn't correlate. And he says, well, it depends on which perspective you take. Indeed, the vibrational frequency of the Earth plane has increased significantly as Earth entered the fifth dimension. And yes, as the frequencies increase, the experience of time on your planet slows down. And she says, is this a process? What is happening? And Archangel Michael said, well, by 2012, you will enter no time. You will release the concept of linear time to enter the holographic or cosmic time. In effect, there will be no time as you know it. Linear time is an artificial construct that creates a rhythm that is not in alignment with a cosmic pulse. Now, as you move out of this artificial construct into no time, you are raising frequency to the point that linear time no longer exists for you. You live in a state of total immediacy, what we will call ultimate presence. Your rational mind is learning to perceive these changes as a gradual slowing of time. Now, as time slows to the point of ceasing altogether, and as you prepare to enter holographic time by raising your vibrational frequency to match that of the cosmic hologram that is outside of linear time, you will become more proficient at the skill of manifestation. And as you align with the cosmic pulse, you will also align more fully with your inner light and divinity and your ability to create and manifest. And since you are manifesting at an increased rate, it will appear as if time is speeding up. What is in fact speeding up is the rate of manifestation, since that is where your planetary energy is primarily focused right now. You as a collective have learned to manifest things and material objects at an alarming rate. You may wish, as you become more accustomed to the new vibrational frequencies, to focus your creative energies beyond the economic paradigm of producing material goods in exchange for money. You will, in any event, need to slow down. Otherwise, you will probably disappear under a mountain of redundant objects. And so he says, I guess you're right. That is what we would call a sustainable future, where we don't bury the earth in waste matter from the rate of our creations of material things that we think we need. We are being manipulated into thinking that we need to keep getting new things all the time. I suppose it is fun to keep creating new things, but we need also to begin to be more responsible in our creations and to see what it is that we really need and what we can do to live in a more responsible way, where we think about other people and the effects of the planet as a whole. Why is no one really noticing these changes in the fabric of time and reality right now? And Archangel Michael says, but of course they do. But not yet with the rational mind, for the mind is still trying to maintain the illusion that all is as it has always been and that nothing has really changed that much. The mind feels safer this way. It is as yet still very uncertain about the stability of this new quantum reality. But the rest of your being is moving inexorably into holographic reality or time, and so the mind registers the stress on the body as panic or anxiety as the known world changes. Many people suffer from anxiety and panic disorders as they seek to cope with the deep changes. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the ascension symptoms.
While most of these, including the exhaustion, the nausea, the dizziness, and headaches, have little to do with cleansing and more to do with the body adjusting to a new time frame. It is a process of recalibration of the being to a higher frequency that manifests as much slower reality frame. But with that slower time frame, the process of manifestation is moving much faster, creating feelings of anxiety and disorientation in some. The deep emotional and mental changes are a result of this recalibration and realignment. As you align more closely to the divine essence within you, your core center of light and love, you move into a clearer and purer sense of your own being, that which we call the absolute truth of who you are. With each small shift, you become more of who you truly are, and more of the illusions and the dross falls away. You discover that you are a being of light in a cosmos of manifest love. That is your true identity in the realms of light called heaven, and it is your true identity as you bring heaven to earth to create the new earth as a place of love made manifest. These changes can cause intense anxiety and stress as your body and mind complex registers that there is something not quite as it used to be, and that the fabric of reality as it has been for thousands of years is now changing very rapidly. This can also cause deep inner depression as the being feels out of control. For the process of linear time is a control mechanism. You always knew how and why things would happen and within a given time frame. Now you are moving into a seemingly random field where the laws of synchronicity and resonance are what create reality, and these operate outside of linear time. We would now introduce a new term, localized time, to replace the idea of linear time. Localized time is where you are right now. It is that point of consciousness that you have chosen to focus into the earth plane from the whole spectrum of who you are on many dimensions of light. So you perceive your reality within a local setting, that is where you are right now on earth. But at the same time, you exist in holographic or cosmic time, which is a much larger frame that contains the reality of who you are. So Celia says, is humanity moving into a perception of non-localized or cosmic time? And Archangel Michael replies, yes, indeed, this is the purpose of the great shift for humanity. It is not business as usual, but an enormous shift in the fabric of reality and how that reality is perceived. From this perceptual shift will also come a new way of living and creating. But humanity is still only on the brink of this true shift that will awaken them to the possibilities within their creative matrix and what can be achieved when they awaken to their true being as masters of light and co-creators with spirit. Can you give us an idea of what that will mean for us? Yes, as a collective, humanity, human angels, will begin to perceive yourselves as you are, as infinite beings on a continuum of light that expresses pure love at all times. What does this mean? It means that you have the power to see your reality for what it is, beyond the narrow confines of linear time and duality. You can see and understand how simple it is, for when you created linear time, you created the paradigm for conflict. For linear time is, as I have already mentioned, a control system, and all control systems go against the cosmic flow and cause friction. This is what you have come to call the war of dark and light. In truth, it is merely the heavy nature of linear time that causes the sense of darkness, for indeed all is light. Once linear time has been removed and you are integrated once more into the cosmic pulse, you will have the freedom to create as you choose within the flow of divine creative intelligence or holographic time. The friction will be removed, and the frequencies of light will pour forth onto the planet in a symphony of cosmic creation that will be beautiful and wonderful to behold. And Celia says, well, the obvious question would seem to be, why did we create linear time? And Archangel Michael responds, it was necessary, a necessary part of the evolution of the human angel that you are. In order to experience the density of material existence to its fullest, you were allowed to create this dense control system that would direct and control your material existence and create the illusion that you were indeed separate from light. But now you have pierced the illusion and you no longer need linear time to hold you in your material bodies. Now that you fully understand the nature of material density
and that you are infinite beings of light. You are free to choose to be within a material body and experience yourself as a limitless being of light at the same time. So you are learning to replace linear time with a sense of possibility and infinity. All things are possible on the continuum of infinity, which is your creative space now. You are ready to fully realize the concept of linear time and become fully conscious holographic beings. Of course, there are implications here also for how you experience space as well. Cecilia says, well, let's talk about space and our perceptions and creations of space and how they'll change. And Michael says, yes, indeed, we're glad that you understand that space, like time, is a reality construct of the third dimension, and that in the new multidimensional reality, you will understand space to be much more fluid and flexible. So let us say space, as you have experienced it, is a construct or projection of inner consciousness. All space, like time, is a unified field of immense possibility and potential that is experienced in its entirety by consciousness. But you choose to project or create and perceive that which gives you a sense of security and reality in the third dimension. Localized space, in other words. Do you mean that 3D space is an illusion? And Michael says, well, yes, a collective illusion that is held in place by all of you in that grandest of creations called a planet. In your new reality, you will come to understand that a planet is not a rock floating in space so much as a manifestation of a collective of powerful beings and souls who have chosen to co-create in order to experience reality in a certain way together. In effect, you are the planet. It is an aspect of you in other dimensions. And what you think and believe about the planet is a projection of your own inner feelings and beliefs about yourself. So as you learn to honor yourselves once again, you will honor the planet as your own creation and your own being, for indeed it is. So we create the planet and the idea of space as a kind of home for our material projections of ourselves? And Michael says, yes, you could say so. But remember, this is not an impersonal creation. It is manifested with great love and joy. It is a precious jewel in the field of light, and you will come to see it in that way and to appreciate with great gratitude the privilege of being a co-creator in this project. You will cease to see a violent and dangerous world of lack and scarcity and start to create a luminous and radiant world of love, peace, and beauty that reflects the essence of who you are as creators. You are the emissaries of the Source. You are the family of light, whose work is to create and evolve this planet of light. And the Blue Star Earth is a very precious project of those who serve the Source as creators of form. Celia, so can you explain more about our new perceptions of space and how this will affect our reality? And Michael says, well, since in truth all space is unified and experienced simultaneously by your higher aspects, you will have the opportunity to come to understand that you can also shift your experience of space and what is experienced as space. As you make the shift, you will begin to perceive and understand the true nature of interstellar and interdimensional space travel. And that, of course, will open the way for you to experience such travel. And he also makes the comment that, for know that as you enter into this new reality, you will see and perceive absolute truth. Deception will no longer be possible as you take the power to create your own reality, and you will allow no one to manipulate you or control you. I find also that this connects space travel with another one of the questions that Albert Meyer had asked of the Pleiadians. And Albert said, you have explained to me that Earth beings would not be able to travel the universe until they would invent another propulsion, a hyperdrive, so to speak. In my mind, it must treat of a drive which somehow changes matter so that the speed of light can be surpassed and the ray-ship enters a kind of hyperspace in which space and time are changed like you already explained. And they say, you sound like a scientist. When we consider that all your knowledge consists of autodidactical work, it is phenomenal. You are right. For traveling through cosmic space, a drive is necessary which surpasses the speed of light many times over. But this propulsion can only come into action when the speed of light is already attained. From that it follows that another drive will be needed to bring us up to the speed of light. This means then that a race ship needs at least two drives. A normal drive which provides acceleration up to the speed of light, and a second hyperdrive, as you would call it, the drive which generates the hyperspeed by which the hyperspace is entered. A space in which mass enlarges itself in relation to the increase in speed, so that time and space collapse into null time and null space. This means that, for that matter, time and space cease to exist, and exactly by that action is affected the hyperspace condition, where the distances of numerous light years are passed in a fraction of a second without a time lag. This means that for a race ship and its passengers, the time aboard the ship would be the same as for those on the home planet or any other star. Surely, for example, we leave the Pleiades and we need around 7 hours to reach Earth. Then on our way home, planet, and on Earth, a 7-hour increment of time has passed. We need this long as time because we first have to fly out of the reaches of the planets by the normal system of propulsion, and far out in space can we convert to hyperspeed. We then come back out of the hyperspace condition far outside of your solar system and fly to here once more in normal drive. We never shift into hyperspace too near a planet. This is all very interesting, but how essentially does such a hyperdrive work, and how does the normal drive work? And the Pleiadians say, oh, I'm not allowed to tell you closer details of this. If your scientists knew the details, they would solve their drive problems in short time. This is not in our cosmic interest, as the Earth being is still not free enough to fly in cosmic space. But he will, in a given time, which is not very far away, find the solving of this problem by himself. I'm only allowed to say so much. Many of your scientists are already at work on this research into the necessary propulsions. I'm allowed to say this concerning propulsions, that your advanced scientific circles are already working on systems known as light-emitting drives and tachyon drives. The light-emitting drives serve as the normal propulsion system and serves to move race ships from planets and their near vicinity up to 153 million kilometers distance to the safe boundary. Once there, the tachyon drive is brought into action when greater distances are to be overcome. This is the hyperpropulsion system, which is able to force space and time into hyperspace. We call these propulsion systems by other names, but the sense is similar. We have another language than the Earth beings, and so I have to explain it to you in terms that you can understand. And by going into space and time travel and some of the concepts that are presented through the Esasani, through Bashar, and through the Pleiadians, and some of Albert Meyer's contacts, and also through the channelings of Celia Finn through Archangel Michael, I hope I was able to make some connections here to no time and the high probability of 2012 being this very amazing point in human history, and also connecting that with some of the latest research from Valerie Uvarov, the Russian scientist who has done some amazing work also with pyramids and pyramid power, and the very positive effect that pyramids have on human consciousness and evolution. And in point of fact, he's stated that as the frequency of the Earth increases and as the magnetic anomalies occur on the Earth, that things will be accelerating up from now until the year 2012. And he has made some connections there to actually the health of individuals. And he's basically saying that health problems will be accelerated. And one of the ways to counterbalance both your internal time clocks as well as boost your immune system and activate your higher chakras is through the use of the Wands of Horus, or what we call in ET Yoga, the Egyptian healing rods. And if you want more information about Egyptian healing rods, you can go to www.egyptianhealingrods.com. And Sri Ramka and Kirara were the source of my first encountering the Egyptian healing rods. I've used them for several years. I highly recommend them. There are different types of rods. The crystal quartz rods 3 are the ones that Kirara used to eliminate a cancer tumor. And clearly, the Egyptian healing rods have more than just an effect to heal people that have health issues, but they're a great stimulus to the immune system and helps make people that are already in good health even stronger. And some of the research by Valerie Yuvarov with some of the ancient yogis and some of their problems with cancer occurred from this internal time clock change. It's sort of like when they're in deep states of meditation, and that's a certain time frame, and then come to a normal waking experience. This causes some issues for the human body to adjust to, somewhat similar to this new time frame that we're all moving into. And by the way, in the sacred geometry of Janosh, that's J-A-N-O-S-H, and his crop circles, he has crop circles that are specifically related to time. And so this is another medium where information is being passed concerning the whole concept of time and no time, and also how this connects to space travel. In fact, in one of Bashar's teachings, he says that if you place a quarter in one hand and then move it to the other, it's not the same quarter, because location is a property of the of an object. And the continuity that we see of the object moving from one to the other is illusionary, somewhat similar to the frames on a film being run through a projector, where the illusion of the film on a screen gives continuity, but in point of fact, there are a lot of small frames. And this whole concept of instant teleportation happens apparently by placing certain energies upon an object, which makes it appear in a different location. Quite a fascinating concept, and among many concepts that Bashar actually now has on YouTube, and it's under Bashar's Lab. And one of the experiments that we brought to our listeners' attention a few weeks back was concerning the prime radiant concept that, for lack of a better term, because a wave and a particle kind of intermingle with each other at different points in time, but for point of explanation, everything is one particle that moves at infinite speed that has an infinite mass. And he gives demonstration of that with two crystal lights, and how when you move the light fast enough between the two points, it looks like the light is actually in both places at once. And this is actually the concept that when this particle crosses itself, it reinforces itself in ways that create different dimensions. And this will, in point of fact, be a new theory that will eventually come about as science approaches its discovery. And I guess at this point in time, I'd like to remind everyone that if you have questions or there's material that you'd like to have discussed on ET Yoga, you can email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And also I invite you to check out my website at maxwellgreensight.com. There are free downloads there concerning self-empowerment, as well as for people who are in abusive relationships. And if you're interested in techniques, next week's show we're going to focus on techniques for the new age. And I'd like to wish everyone my sincerest best for your full attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and hope you'll tune in again next week. Good night.